When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Kinda Funny Star Wars Ahsoka Breakdown, and welcome back to me, because I missed last week, and I can't believe out of all the weeks to miss of this show,
it was
that one, but y'all held down
everyone,
the fort.
Welcome back to Tim.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the respect, okay? Finally, somebody.
Finally a good Tim.
And I'm not just
Tim.
Directing that to you, as in, like, welcome back to you, Tim. I'm welcoming the audience back to the Tim experience.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome to the show, and welcome to Tim.
Exactly. Yes. Welcome to Tim, everybody, and also welcome to the saddest boy I know, Barrett Courtney.
Tim, I usually start off whenever we review a Star Wars in the episodic variety with a quote from the episode that we're reviewing. That could be a quote that I feel like encapsulates the bigger theme of the episode, just a quote I really like, or a silly quote. And I couldn't decide. I had three quotes and I couldn't decide on one, so I'm just going to read them back to back.
Oh.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, what was first just a dream has become a frightening reality for those who may oppose us. And my favorite, I think, of the three, I knew I could count on you. Goddamn, what an episode. I can't wait to talk about it, Tim.
Hell yes. And welcome to the one and only Anthony Carboni.
It was a lovely episode, but I did sit back going, what a week for Barrett Courtney's everywhere.
We're here, y'all.
I told her the exact same thing. I was like, the last couple of weeks, every time I'm watching this show, every 5 minutes, I'm like, I can't. Somewhere out there, Barrett is freaking the hell out.
What a week for Barrett Courtney's everywhere. And our predictions for last week were so, so conservative compared to what we got this week. I'm so happy for you.
Oh man, I'm eating, you know, like we're getting the follow-up to Rebels 5.5 years later. You know, I'm getting a new Blink 182 record next month. We've got Spider-Man 2 coming out, Persona 3 Reloads coming out the day before my birthday next year. I'm living my best life.
It's a good
right
Barrett
now.
Time. But I would also like to welcome you to Sage Ryan.
Welcome to me as well. Welcome to Tim. Welcome to me, everybody. How are we all feeling post the reveal of Blue Elon Musk?
Good.
Yeah.
I love it. I personally love it. He looks like he should look. You take the dumb cartoon guy, you make him a dumb real guy. He looks dumb. I love it.
Yeah, his hair is the only thing that's really throwing me off.
Hair's
throwing
weird.
You off?
The hair is weird in live action, but then it's throwing me off. And then it's something about the live action depiction of the blue with the red eyes specifically. Like his eyes are hard to look at. And I don't know if that's shit on my end of just like being able to process colors or something, but yeah.
You're right. Yeah. I think it's very interesting because they didn't go for like a traditional primary red. The red actually has a lot of magenta in it.
It
is very odd. The eyes, though, they should be unsettling. So I think that is like a successful aspect of it. I don't know if I'm with it on how much he looks like Elon Musk. I don't know if I'm there with you guys.
Weird. It's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
what
weird
it looks
because
like.
Here's my problem with it is when I'm watching media, I'm team like bad guys should be bad. I don't have to agree with the bad guy. They don't have to have any sort of redeeming qualities to them. They're bad guys. But this is also my escapism. And I would love to not think of the evil overlords of my own world whilst watching Ahsoka Tano.
I think it's just the hairline.
It's clearly like a hairpiece. So yeah. I don't know why they would choose to place it there.
I mean, my only problem is we don't have like definitive looks at like the lips and teeth of the whole situation. You know what I mean? Like I'm hoping next week we might get a little diaper dive
Diaper Dive? Deeper Dive.
It's all of that.
A little of that diaper Dive.
Tim's got diapers on the mind. I wonder if it's less
Bane.
Of like...
You almost made me do a spit take.
You want that Cad Bane closey.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I want to get
you
in
there. You want to see what that mouth do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do wonder if the Elon Muskism of like his visual is just kind of a happenstance. I wouldn't be surprised if that was less of like...
I think so.
Yeah. And it's just... It happens to be what Mikkelsen looks like, and them trying to translate him to, you know, what his what his character counterpart
it was a
is.
Conscious thing.
Yeah,
I don't think
they went for it.
Yeah, I also think that is completely a coincidence. Yeah.
The only thing that bugged me out about it was I'm just used to Thrawn being depicted as so like barrel chested. You know, like Thrawn's always in like shape.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of weird to see like. Lars was just like, "Yeah, man, I'll show up."
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a little.
Hey, man, it's been a bunch of years. All right,
it's been a decade. It's been a decade, and he's been isolated. Okay,
yeah.
You That's think he true. Would still be training? You know.
Yeah, I just here's what I'll say. We'll get into the actual episode. I don't think that Thrawn was as intimidating as I would have loved, but he did make me deeply uncomfortable. So,
he had moments of real intimidation for me.
Yeah.
There were because I think he's in a position right now in this episode where he doesn't have to be that intimidating.
I agree.
He's surrounded by allies and stuff, but the moments where you could tell that things were not going exactly the way he wanted, he got that he got real Thrawn about it, and
yes.
I was like, okay,
yeah,
all right. He's pulling it back a little bit, but we're gonna start seeing more and more of it as things start unraveling. I think.
Yes, and we're going to talk about it each and every week right here on the Kind of Funny screencast. Of course, you could watch on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to listen as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny screencast, and we will be right there for you for the next couple of weeks. We only got two more of these, baby.
I know.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah. And then Loki starts up, though, so a lot of fun.
I'm still on board with the pacing. They're doing a great job.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're doing a really good job.
And of course you can go above and beyond by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad free, and to get a whole bunch of bonus content. You can go to there. You can also be a Patreon producer like Nathan Lamothe, Jedi Master Deadpool, Casey Andrew, and James Hastings. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you all about that later. Sage, I want to start with you. Overall, what did you think of this episode of Ahsoka Far, Far Away?
Still absolutely loving it. I think it was a wonderful episode. I think that, Anthony was saying, we were making a lot of predictions last week, and we definitely like undersold what this episode was going to be. The fact that we got Ezra and Thrawn in the same episode was so surprising, and I kept stopping to take notes of little predictions throughout the episode, and I want you to know every single one of them was wrong. Every single fucking one of them. Like, just by myself, I was just sitting here being like, okay, I'm 30 minutes in and this is what I think is about to happen. Absolutely every one of them was wrong, which is really, really cool. I loved that I couldn't predict most of it. I really felt like it was a well-paced and interesting episode. I think it's very, very cool to reveal Thrawn, and it makes me very happy that we're going to get some time with Thrawn in this. I'm glad that we will then have three episodes, theoretically, of Thrawn. Like I said, I was a little disappointed by wanting him to be a little more intimidating. This, like, first reveal of live action Thrawn, I wanted to, like, send chills up my spine, like the idea of Thrawn does. And, like, when I think about the Thrawn books, the, you know, animated Thrawn does for me. I think I am expecting Thrawn that has not, you know, been exiled for all of these years. So it also makes sense, and I can justify that. But I would have loved the impactfulness of the first appearance of Thrawn to be stronger and scarier. And I was like so prepared to be scared. And then I was like, Thrawn. Hell yeah. I'm glad Thrawn's here. It's like, I love it as a Star Wars fan. But when I remove and I take off my big Star Wars fan hat, it's a huge hat. It's ridiculous. It's like 10-gallon hat. It exceeds it. It's Doug Dimmadome style. Yep. Then I'm kind of like, oh, okay, well.
He's a guy.
An older blue guy.
He's blue.
Yeah, he's blue. And that's kind of it for me. But I think there is plenty of room for him to still fulfill that, like, big, scary Thrawn legacy in the next couple of episodes.
Carboni, what about you?
Oh, you know, I loved this so much. It had everything I like in a Star Wars. Did we meet a new species of adorables? Yes, we did.
Didn't we meet a bunch of little freaks last night? Yes, we did.
Yes, yeah, we did. Do we have another animal best friend for somebody? Yes, we do. Did we get Thrawn? Was not, like you're saying, maybe we wanted a little more menace from Thrawn, because this is the first time we're seeing Thrawn in live action. I want Thrawn. Let me tell you something. His army of potentially zombie ass fucking night troopers was cool enough for me. Enoch, the leader of his night troopers,
sounding like Soundwave from Transformers. Oh yeah, dude.
with the Greek and Roman style, just like statue parts, and it was very good. I love the Night Sisters, so I love that we have like more lore from them. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, Iman Asfanti, perfect Ezra.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Perfect Ezra. I don't know if that's his natural voice. I know he's been in a few things over the last couple of years, but he sounds like Taylor.
Yeah.
It was like 10 years later. It was weird.
It was a lot.
He sounds exactly like Taylor, and it was so good. It was so good. Tim, how did y'all feel?
Let's start with you.
I mean, this was, like you've been saying, Carboni said, like, I've been eating this entire fucking series, and last week and this week especially, just like so many moments. I thought this was a great episode overall. Sage was saying, of like the pacing throughout. We got a little bit of different tones throughout this episode that all felt very Star Wars. Like I've been saying for like the last, like for the entire series so far, like the first three episodes kind of have that like Phantom Menace, New Hope vibe. The last two episodes had a little bit more like Empire Strikes Back a little bit. And then I was interested of like, well, this isn't going to be the end of the story. This isn't going to be like the wrapping up of what they're building up towards here. So what are they going to do for these last three episodes? Are they going to try to make it feel like a Return of the Jedi a little bit? What are they going to do? And I love that we got a mix of a lot of things, especially because we didn't really get an update for Sabine last week. We get to kind of like feel like her Empire Strike Back moments here, where she's making a deal with the devil and kind of going through those motions and dealing with that within herself, and then also coming to terms with that of like, next week she's going to have that conversation with Ezra of like what it cost for her to get there, right? I love that. But then I also love that we get, you know, goofy little Star Wars Rebels-esque moments where she's mad at her dog wolf pig friend, and she's like, no, go that way, and then he like sadly walks away, and then he chases after her a little bit, and then they become friends. Like, that feels so much like Ezra, like, befriending, like, the loath cats and stuff like that. And then you get the... I love the setup at the very beginning, too, with Ahsoka and Hu Yang. And then just the absolute payoff for not just Thrawn, who I will agree, like, physically intimidating. I'm not quite there, but I do think that the performance and the writing made up for it. There are a couple moments, especially when Morgan's like, oh, we need to send like squadrons after them and all this stuff. And Thrawn goes into that classic Thrawn kind of thing of like, you got to see the bigger picture, and like the fucking algorithm or whatever, that like the thing that's going on is in his head of like all of these moving parts of what he needs to accomplish to get his goal, which is always the priority, right? And then the payoff for, you know, this big question we've been debating on, is Ezra still alive? I believe it was like in episode one, Carboni, you were like, maybe a little doubtful of it, if Ezra was going to be still around, because like
he predicted no Ezra.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to see Ezra in this series,
especially because I agree with you a little bit of like his performance in like the hologram thing did feel a little bit of like, all right, we need to just kind of put a body here and someone to say these things. So let's just put him in here. And so to get the payoff and to have him fucking fit the role so well, even with his like 2 minute scene, he sold it very well. The line that I said at the beginning of the episode, I knew I could count on you, especially with the slow pan, like right as the slow pan started on Sabine, I knew it was going to happen, and I was not emotionally prepared, because I think in the back of my mind I've been just like, he's dead, just like accept it, move on. And to finally get the moment where it's like, it's been 5.5 years since Ezra and Thrawn have, you know, went off on their adventure with the space whales at the end of Star Wars Rebels, which I think that episode was like March 2018. And to get that moment, I was not prepared for how hard I cried last night for the return of Ezra and what that meant to Sabine and what that meant to him. The line of "I knew I could count on you," because that was such a big like thing for Sabine at the end of Rebels, of like, "Sabine, I'm counting on you," and she doesn't know quite what that means. Just to see that reunion of those characters, but then in live action with these new performers taking on these roles, it just... it meant a lot to me, and I'm surprised that I got this episode a week after last week's episode. You know, I felt like I was getting a little bit more convinced, getting closer to this episode of like, yeah, Sage and Carbone are probably right. This is probably going to be more of a slow build, and the fact that we got all of this last night, I'm over the moon.
Yeah, I loved it, man. I've been loving it. Last week's episode was fantastic. Before that was fantastic. This was fantastic. This I just think is the most consistent show that we've had so far of the more fun side of the whole Star Wars stuff.
The campy Star Wars.
And I just love it. I feel like they're just crushing what they're going for here. And the balance between, hey, you know, there's a lot of homework you had to do to understand all this stuff. They're making it worth it, though.
Yes.
And watching Rebels was so worth it because it stands alone. It's a great show. But I feel like this is picking up all the pieces perfectly to move it forward in a way that kind of catches everybody up to speed on like where we're at going forward with the Star Wars story. But I specifically love the bad guys losing, right? Like Vader, like turned back to Anakin, that whole thing, Death Star exploded, blah, blah, blah. And now they're turning to dark magic to solve their problems. And I feel like Mando didn't do the best job of fully getting there. They hinted at it a little bit and they're building out the universe. But I do think that it's getting easier and easier to now look back on the last couple projects and see all the little things that they seeded, whether or not they knew at the time we were going to get there. Mm-hmm. I think that the way that they're going back and connecting the dots, even having the main witch that we're with in this season, what's her name?
Morgan,
being from Mando season 2, connecting with Ahsoka in that way, all of that. It's like, I just feel like they're doing a great job of connecting the dots that they have put out there the last couple seasons of these shows. But the idea that the witches are so ingrained in this plan and that this dark magic is being used, the amount of cloning conversations going on, the amount of potential armies of undead troopers that Thrawn has now, like that really does start to set the seeds for what we see with Palpatine. And, you know, somehow Palpatine
feels like
returned.
It's justifying Palpatine stuff.
And
we're moving up to like, how does Exegol work?
Exactly.
Because Exegol did not make a lot of sense to us.
And in
the
same way, we've said this a whole bunch, but in the same way that Filoni really tried to use these shows to like fix the problems or fill in the gaps of the prequels, we're clearly trying to do that now for the sequels. But I think that with Ahsoka, we're actually getting there. And it's not just flirting with it anymore. It's like, oh, we're full on dealing with it. And this whole heir to the Empire situation, I think, is going to set that stuff up perfectly. And I feel like I'm highest on Thrawn in this compared to you guys. Sure, the looks aside.
No, I want to say I'm still extremely high on Thrawn. It was just physically I was surprised, kind of in the same way that I was surprised by Cad Bane, where I was like, I have to acclimate to what this looks like in real life.
Yeah.
I just think that content wise
Cad Bane.
Yeah, I just like, because it's Lars, like it's gonna be right because it's Lars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And my thing is
Dave
I didn't love him
for
in
Lars.
Like Thrawn and Rebels, I was like, I was still waiting for him to like kind of like get there,
blow you away,
you know. Yeah. And so I feel like this is in line with that in a way where I'm like, oh, we're getting there. Like I have full faith we're going to get there. But the line that he has towards the end of like destroy it with prejudice, is like after spending an entire episode of him kind of being a little bit more like 40 chess like in your head, and then it just ends with like, nah, fuck that brute force and the worst type of brute force.
Yeah,
get
the fact that one line where you see him turn where it's like, oh. The Night Sisters are like, yeah, there's a powerful Jedi coming with a Purgle. And he's like, oh, it's Ahsoka. Oh, what an unwelcome surprise. And you're just like, you see him turn and he's just like, I will murder everyone.
Yeah.
You think I will not murder everyone here?
Yeah.
But the
writing was really good.
Last thing I want to say before we get to the ads and then get into our thoughts is Ezra was just awesome. Like, you echoing what y'all said, like, I feel like some of the characters in the show I've really loved. Like, Sabine's, like, my favorite character in the show. I really, really like her story. I like following her as kind of, like, the lead of this in a weird way. Because these shows can't actually be called who they're about. That's the rule of Star Wars at this point.
Right.
But I love Sabine. But, like, Sabine, at moments, and I feel like this episode really feels like she did in Rebels, but there's a lot of things about her where it kind of feels like a reformation of the character. It's been many years. She is kind of different. Seeing Ezra, though, I'm like, that's Ezra.
Yeah.
Like, that's the boy. That is Ezra. And it's like, you see Hera, and it's like, it's Hera, but it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like seeing Ezra, I was like, oh, shit. We're doing something here.
That hit.
Yeah.
His eyes are so blue.
They're so impossibly blue.
Those contacts are doing work.
Yeah.
He's so beautiful.
He's so pretty.
So beautiful that as soon as he walks out of that building, I was like, honestly, I've really been questioning a lot of Sabine's choices in this. I get it now.
I get it. All right, we're going to keep talking about that after a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep because I just can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace, and it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. You can find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Is Ezra going to be the Jedi Master for Kanan Jarrus's child, Jason Jarrus?
I hope so. I hope so.
So bad. I need.
There were a few things that I thought about character interactions and where we're going during this episode. And the biggest one that popped out was, like, I knew we were going to see Ezra this episode because somebody had, I saw some random tweet that was trying to be oblique about something. So I saw it and I was okay with it. But so I was thinking about Ezra, but then also when Sabine goes out and fights those bandits, the first thing I thought during that fight is, oh my God, when Filoni's Mando movie happens and Din Djarin sees Sabine Wren for the first time and sees a Jedi Mandalorian, that is going to be a wild moment.
Oh, yeah.
That is going to be an absolutely buck wild moment when they're all fighting alongside each other.
Yeah.
And it's inevitable. Like, it's going to happen. And they're setting it up here, man.
She's going to look at Grogu and be like, you ain't shit. You're not special.
We can all do the flippy things. Are you doing the flippy? Flippy's like the first thing they teach you.
Go eat your fish eggs, you little weirdo.
You little creep.
But we do learn that the first thing that people are actually taught is the history of the galaxy, part 1, 2, and 3.
And part 1 is the best. These motherfuckers. Filoni, get the fuck out of here.
We gotta unpack this because I've seen a lot of people unpacking this joke and getting different meanings out of it.
I think that's
a lot
the
of
point,
people are
though.
Saying Filoni is saying that A New Hope is the best, right?
And because some people are thinking episode 1.
Yeah, because they're thinking about 1, 2, and 3, and I'm like, no, if you're thinking 1, 2, and 3, it's 3 trilogies.
Yeah.
So what trilogies is he talking about? And he's talking
about
the prequels.
Oh,
he
did
20 years of work on the prequels.
Yeah.
He loves
the prequels.
There is.
But it's one of those interesting.
The great thing about the great thing about that as a joke though is it doesn't matter who you are, you think he's agreeing with you. People who are original trilogy fans are going, see, he's saying what I'm saying. Yeah, the original's the best. And then prequel fans are going, he's saying the prequels are the best, and he's right. Yeah. You know,
the genius of the joke, and it's just more just like a little tongue in cheek kind of. What the fandoms discuss all the goddamn time, which I adored.
I would like to get into the philosophical debate of Sabine Wren and her choices at this time, if we may.
Oh, we may.
Hold on.
We may.
I'll just
because again,
this
one choice is the
big.
is the thing that leads to the entire sequel trilogy. So
this is pretty freaking big. And in her interaction with Ezra, I think it really like hit me in the face with it when he said, "It did work, right?"
Yeah.
He doesn't even know, man.
He doesn't know that, like, yeah, it did. You and, like, being part of Thrawn being banished here. But, like, to let you out, she's letting him out.
And, I mean, right. Also, let's just talk about the fact that Ezra not only doesn't know that, Ezra mm-hmm. doesn't know about a lot of things that happened. Yeah. He doesn't know about two Death Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last 7 years were pretty big.
Yeah, a lot of Death Stars happened.
Yeah.
A lot happened. A lot of ruin and horrible things happened. But the thing that he was specifically trying to accomplish and that, like, did it work? It did to some extent. But, like, it just feels so messed up that he would not have chosen what Sabine has chosen for him. And you
they're
know
in for
it.
A tough discussion next week. I
don't
Sabine,
know how we come back from that. I know we have
Sabine
to, but like,
pushing
damn.
It off made a lot of sense because, man.
She knows it wasn't the right
say,
choice.
I hate to say star-lording, but mm-hmm. Sabine's kind of been star-lording.
She's star-lording a little bit.
That's
I agree.
Fair.
I think that she is a little bit. And I wish that we had just seen this would all be justified by an ounce more resistance from Sabine.
My thing is, and I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, this is so consistent with her character in Rebels. This is who she is. She acts this way. She trusts the system, but then she will go against it the second she gets a chance when it's about her friends or things she cares about.
Yep.
And I keep saying, like, oh, man, like, she knows what she's doing, her getting captured. The amount of scenes of her being captured, looking around and stuff, I'm like, where's Event? If she doesn't end up at Event by the end, at this point, I think she probably won't. But if I don't see her at Event in this show, I'm going to be
so shocked. Her and Ezra were in so many goddamn vents.
The original working title for this series, Snips and Vents.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I did love the scene of her.
I don't see any hope for that.
I know, at this point, I don't either. But I do think that even without her physically being in the vent, I do think that they, like, were giving me what I was looking for of having her be there. Her trying to use the Force to get out. What an amazing cut of her, the shaking and everything. And it ends up just being this freaking Star Destroyer going over them.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we've now seen her maybe use the Force, but probably, I'm now convinced even more than I was a couple weeks ago that, like, she's not. Yeah. It is just like she's attempting to, and it's not doing anything. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That Star Destroyer, by the way, were you excited, Barrett, to see the Chimera? That's the Chimera, right?
I believe so. That's
Thrawn ship.
Yeah, and it was that. I noticed it's the one that they, at the end of Rebels where they get shot off in, because you see a little bit of, like, you know, the Purgle had kind of, like, wrapped around the Star Destroyer, so you see a little bit still of that destruction. Was the markings on the bottom, was that always part of the Chimera?
He's got the insignia that was, like, part of the Maraxa clan.
Okay.
Or whatever it was, where mm-hmm. that's where the ship gets its name, is it's got like the three-headed thing on the bottom. So that was always a part of it. But
That was definitely like a moment, especially seeing like parts of it where it was clearly more like messed up in certain places than others. And then
it's got a big old gash taken out of it still.
Yeah, and I honestly the best thing about it, the funniest thing, is when it docks on top of the tower where they're standing on here, or on like the rune. Yeah, right here. It looks like someone putting their finger in like a little butthole, a little Star Destroyer butthole.
That's
right.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's what they were going for. That's the butthole of space. But
there's
also
something sexual about it. I wrote Nicole down in my notes, there's something sexual about this shot in particular.
And okay.
When
we're talking about this imprisonment scene, though, the other thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about Baylan and Shin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're one prediction that I still feel confident about is that Shin is not fully invested. Shin is just an apprentice that has only ever known Baylan and is starting to question a lot of things.
Yes.
It's good stuff, y'all.
I think it's very interesting because my opinion on her was that, like, she's going to go full fucking Sith and, like, he's not going to be evil enough for her, essentially, mm-hmm. because of the power that she wants. But I'm starting to see that waver a little bit. I'm starting to see her be like, I mean, the question's like, do you miss the Order? Do you ever miss the Jedi Order? Yeah. And, like, okay, were these people taught like me? And, like, trying to figure out what other people had access to that she hasn't and, like, mm-hmm. where she fits into all of it is very interesting.
And her visual doubts as well, like, in the moments where she kind of puts together when Thrawn lets Sabine go and Sabine goes out into the wild there and Thrawn's like, all right, like, you know, track her down, hunt her and stuff. And she's mm-hmm. like, whoa, we're going to go back on the promise. And, you know, Thrawn doing the classic Thrawn stuff, like, yeah, we're going to let her possibly give her the opportunity to look for Ezra. But
yeah,
if she finds
that
him,
was the promise.
Yeah. And then if she finds him, we'll kill them both, you know, and you right. see that kind of like, There is definitely some moral stuff going on inside of her head of like, I don't know if I'd like, I want power, because especially when she's talking to Baylan and Baylan talked about like, oh, the power that Thrawn has is fleeting. I'm looking for something more. I'm looking for the beginning to break this cycle, which that whole conversation is awesome. And
yes.
I love that we're getting more of Baylan and I'm blanking on the actor's name for Baylan.
It's Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson, thank you. Mm-hmm. Fucking crushed it in that scene in this episode.
Dude, the line of him being like, as you get older and look at history, it's all inevitable.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn. Yeah, and them just talking about it, just happening over and over.
And he's like over and over and over again.
And he's looking to break that. Like, I love that. But you do see in that scene, she is power hungry. And like, what mm-hmm. will that lead her down towards? And especially, it's very interesting later on where she asks like, oh, was Ezra trained like me? And he's like, no, he was trained to be a Jedi. I'm training you to be something more. What right. does that mean? Especially because we don't really know what they consider themselves. The others consider them like mercenaries. Like, they're kind of dark-sided, but I don't think they're...
The Night Sisters do not sense Jedi. They do not sense anything coming off of Baylan.
That's
and
a good
Shin.
Point.
Yeah,
but then Thrawn does call him General Baylan of the Jedi Order.
Yeah,
which is interesting because like that means that they've crossed paths before, which is a fun thing.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it does.
Not physically, but like they
He's
know
aware.
Each other. Because here's the other thing: when Thrawn says like, "Oh, Sabine, it's good to see like a friendly face or a familiar face." Thrawn and Sabine have never seen each other in person. They've never been in the same place. They know of each other, but I don't think they've seen each other.
That doesn't sound right.
I don't think.
I mean, Thrawn.
There's definitely a scene of them talking about art and discussing art. I believe.
Is there? Because he's seen Ezra. Like he has stuff from the people. Like he's aware of them, but I don't think they've been in the same place.
Just a quick fact check. Yes, they have.
They have. Okay. I was like, I got kind of like, what, for a moment?
Oh, God.
But
don't
I was like,
up,
at least they know of each other.
Let me check.
Don't look up Thrawn and Sabine Rebels, because, oh, my God.
No, don't turn Safe Search off. Whoa. Do not turn that off.
I'm looking it up to make sure, because I don't want to be wrong.
Either way,
that.
It's unimportant, but it's interesting that Baylan and Thrawn know of each other's reputations from the past. That's all. I thought that was very interesting.
Thrawn clearly knows a lot about stuff, about the history and about the Jedi and all that stuff. Like he name drops a lot of things. But like now that Ahsoka's coming, am I remembering this correctly? Like he had a line about who her master is.
Yes. I want to know who her master is. I want to know where she comes from.
Yeah.
I want to know like all of these things.
What is that going to lead to? Like those little lines of dialogue, I'm like,
oh, that,
whoa, what?
That's going to lead to him, like, if he ever encounters Ahsoka, that's going to be him shoving the knife, like, trying to shove the knife into her. Because, like, I'm pretty sure he's one of the few, and maybe I'm misremembering this from the newer Thrawn books, of he definitely met Anakin at some point before the Empire mm-hmm. became the Empire, and then eventually when it became the Empire, he did know of Vader. I think he's one of the few who knew that it was Anakin. I could be misremembering that. So just like knowing that history, I think it's just going to be like mental fucking mind games and like using that knowledge in his history, knowing Anakin and meeting Anakin and possibly, I think, knowing Vader. I think that's going to be a very interesting interaction.
So Thrawn has always known, but he has not confronted Vader about it.
Okay.
And Vader kind of like, Vader knows that Thrawn knows. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things where the two of them are both just like.
But does Thrawn know that Vader knows that Thrawn knows?
That Thrawn knows. And then who? What did he say when they were hanging out later? And yeah. I wasn't there. But it was. It's one of those things where the two of them, I think, were just like, there is no advantage to me to give up this information. There is nothing that I get out of this other than potentially ruining a professional relationship with this person that is advantageous.
It looks like they actually talked about it much later in Thrawn Alliances, specifically, and that they had had a conversation and Vader essentially denied everything. That he was like, I fully know that you're Anakin. Like, I know who you are. And he was like, no,
well, I thought he was like really like roundabout about it. I thought he never actually said, like, I know. But I could be wrong. I thought he was like very like he danced around it, but he never really said.
Yes, but that is, you know, he did bring it up. He was trying to get a confirmation of it. It is vague in the conversation about it, but enough for Vader to deny it.
Yeah,
specifically.
I want to bring up a nitpick that I have, a little Tim nitpick about this episode. I feel like with the this being called far, far away, this episode, then literally having the line of Huyang in this being like, you know,
he said the thing. He said the thing.
I love it. I love how they contextualize it. I love that. I thought that was great. I just feel like for a universe, Star Wars, of so many different planets and so many different like space areas and things that we have seen, things that we haven't seen, for them to make such a big deal about this being a completely separate place, it just felt like a different planet. And like there's something about that, and you know, maybe we'll get there later. I just thought like for a universe, it's hard to use these words because like I mean universe more in the like canon of it all, not so much in the space of it all, but in the universe of Star Wars, like especially with where we're at now, getting the world between worlds that is such an interesting visual thing that's so different. Like that's clearly, it's not space. It's a different thing than we're used to get to this other place. And it just kind of feels like another planet. Something about that to me felt
like a planet that could have been lost in the Outer Rim or something.
Exactly. Like and to get the whole big setup of like, yo, we're going to a galaxy far, far away from the one that's far, far away that you know. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to get something a little bit different.
Yeah. But it's tough because how do you do that when you already have a galaxy like the one in Star Wars where every planet can be so different and all these different creatures are so different from place to place? I think the biggest difference, and the reason they wanted it to be another galaxy, I mean, other than plot reasons, is I think the idea of magic, the way the Night Sisters do it, has always felt to some people a little out of place or a little strange in comparison to the other stuff. Like, it doesn't quite fit with the rest of Star Wars stuff. And so by saying, hey, before they were on Dathomir, they actually came from this other galaxy where like physical rules are a little different, or the laws of reality or nature are a little different. And so this is where magic comes from.
Mm. And I agree with that, but I'm going to agree with Tim. And like, they could have showed us that in a visual sense. And I think that Marvel has actually done a very good job of establishing very, very different looking worlds and different looking societies. I also think if we're traveling to an entire another universe, and not in the canon sense, but in the physical space sense, another galaxy, another universe, what are the odds that everybody's on this same little planet? Aren't there going to be other planets? So that was one of the notes I left for myself here, is I was like, okay, she's just heading out on foot with this thing trying to sniff down Ezra. There's no way. It's been years.
Yeah.
He's just here. Like, he's just here. He's just been hanging out nearby. And I know that they are intending to like drop her off of like, this was our last known whereabouts of Ezra. So they do set that up. But also like 7 years ago, how many years ago were you last in kind of tracking and contact with Ezra? You're on the same planet. And I just felt like she found him so quickly. So that when she got to that town and it was implied like, oh, Ezra's here, I left a little note for myself. I was like, he's dead. It's a like, it's a grave site. Like it's a grave site. He maybe helped these people when he was here. It was so fast that I was like, there's no way that that's Ezra. Like, there's no way she just traveled for a minute, stopped and got some water, and then it was like, oh, the first person I meet. You know Ezra. Of course you do.
A little grave for the hero of the scared turtles.
Exactly. And that's absolutely what I was expecting when we got there. And when he came out of the building, I was distracted by how beautiful he is. But then I went, wait a minute, that was awfully easy.
Yeah.
Like, it was shockingly easy to find Ezra on this one single planet in this entire galaxy that we've traveled to.
I'm willing to give the one single planet in the galaxy a little bit of a pass because he and Thrawn were in a physical altercation and they were taken to the same place and maybe Thrawn, you know, so they kind of land. But now you have to get into, but was that place also the place where the mother witches are from, or did like Thrawn give Ezra a ride to where the mother witches are from?
Yeah.
And like, well, how did that happen? And like, it's all very, I hate to say Star Wars, but it's all very Star Wars. Everybody winds up back on Tatooine. This is the Peridia is the Tatooine of whatever galaxy we're in.
Yeah, I suppose it is. It was just a little easy. And I was surprised that, there were bandits along the way, but that was kind of it. So I was surprised there wasn't more to finding Ezra once we got there. Because it felt like you've sacrificed so much to do this, and then it's just like, oh, hey, there you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. Closing this out, though, do we have any final thoughts and stuff? Because I know we already touched on this. I think Thrawn's army is awesome, and him having that
so
right hand
cool.
guy looking so cool as he does, sounding as cool as he does,
especially
them chanting Thrawn,
like, oh. And then I believe that's his theme from Rebels, but now being like played in like this weird like synthy like electronic keyboard that's like very intense as they're chanting his name.
It's witchcore now.
Yeah,
it's
we're getting into
witchcore now, dude.
And it's that's so intimidating. It's so good.
At the next Star Wars celebration, if I don't see a million night troopers and a million Shin and Shin and Balins, I'm gonna lose my mind. A couple things that I did want to bring up before the end here. Number one, the Great Mothers are listed. They do have names, and their names are the same as the three muses from Greek mythology. You know how much Dave loves his Greek mythology. So they're Atropos, Clotho, and Lexis, but spelled in a Star Wars way.
Cool.
Sabine Wren, Sabine rides her howler is what they call it. Which I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, it's a dog wolf pig, but it's from the Jedi Knight games, but it was like the big lizard things you rode were called howlers.
Oh.
And so now it's a bear man pig wolf.
Dog wolf pig. I also wrote down in my notes Chekhov's dog wolf pig because they kept setting up the whole like he's gonna eat one of these turtle men, and I just wrote that out of like, hey, they've set this up, he's got to do it, just like with Grogu with the eggs.
Grogu likes the eggs.
So I feel like we'll get a little him eating a little
they wound up handing him the weird rock meat fruit that Sabine was
so
not
he'll be
into,
friends with them. Maybe we'll get a scene going the opposite way. Maybe we'll get a scene next week where there's like 10 of them riding on him and they've made friends together.
Fun. I like it.
I'd love that. Yeah, those are the two big ones that I noticed, and then of course the Chimera. But yeah, good episode. I like it.
Dude, and I just
good
love
show.
They keep ending in ways that I'm like, I can't wait for next week. And I just love being there with Star Wars. Andor did it. They're
look
doing
at him.
It here. It's very exciting.
Look at the no-T.
He's so
dapper.
He's dapper.
He's
that's
a dapper
the
little
that's
dude.
Yeah, he's
dapper.
A little outfit on.
Oh, and the little baby ones.
Yeah.
When they showed that one little baby one.
Yeah,
I was
weird
just
little
like,
baby
damn.
One.
Really quick, I just have the hyperspace ring. Continues to be sick when it comes out of hyperspace and you get all the like electricity.
Intergalactic hyperspace travel has a different effect.
Yes. I saw like with the, especially the shot of the Purgle like traveling, and it felt very like Thor Ragnarok a little bit with like their use of colors and shit like that. I thought that was really cool.
You say it like that, it does make me, I do get what you guys are saying a little bit more, Tim and Sage, where it's like, could have looked weirder.
Yeah,
they came out of the
y'all
out of the
were
rainbow
predicting
hyperspace.
That everybody was going to be wearing hats. You know, like this
was
going to be
a
weird
out.
Universe where everybody wears hats. Which is rode on the whales, Strange which universes. I find very weird and interesting. I like that. Mm-hmm. There's that little tidbit. The whale graveyard was made me very sad.
Oh yeah, that was cool as hell.
And the last question that I really have is like, what cargo are they taking from this temple? Because they're talking about like, you know, they're, it seems like they're the top of this tower or whatever is the very top of a temple, and they've been gathering all these resources that they're going to transfer back to the hyperspace ring to bring it back. What is this?
It's dead bodies. Yeah. I think that it's just a ton of dead people
and,
to take back as a zombie force, which
and,
is
and also their
sick.
Emperor come back to life juice.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that at this point, like, there's no chance that's not what they're building towards, which is cool as hell.
My very last thing, and I just I love this. It's a very tiny detail of Ezra finding a community and finding people who are local to the planet to help out and just to help survive. That's kind of what his entire arc was about in Rebels, being this like very selfish young rogue kid who is orphaned, growing up on the streets, but then slowly his whole arc is about fighting for his home planet, fighting for Lothal, and kind of getting rid of the Imperial occupation. And I love that that's just like the first thing we see him being a part of is just like a local group of weird little freaks that he's there to protect and kind of help out as a community. And it's going to make me the one thing I did find a little weird, he's like, I'm so excited to get back. It's like, oh, but you've been like helping these dudes out. Like,
I
was surprised like
friends?
He wasn't like a little bit like, oh, I've been, you know, helping out my little guys here. But just a little detail that I did really appreciate. So,
yeah,
that's all I got.
Well, we will return next week with the penultimate episode of Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn. That
sucks. But anyways, let us know in the comments below what you thought about this one. Sage, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at NotSage or on Pixel Circus. Anthony and I do a show together talking about gaming and pop culture news every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Anthony, what about you?
I'm also on that show. And then you can find me everywhere at acarboni, except for on Twitch, where I'm at Anthony Carboni. Twitch, you cowards, it's mine. Give it back to me.
Hell yes. But until next time, may the Force be with you.